ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यो विज्ञातः तस्तस्य
He's our eternal friend, no matter what. whether there's coronavirus or this or that, is over with. So the combination of master and eternal friend of the living entity. Since the living entities cannot realize the supreme personality of Godhead by name, by material names, activities or qualities, he remains everlastingly unknown to the conditioned soul. So Prabhupada will write about this in his paper that 2 points to note here, apart from the fact that Krishna is our master and eternal friend, is that because supreme personality of Godhead Krishna is unknown to the conditioned soul, then they label him accordingly, which we will know later as we go. But the point is that he is unknown to the conditioned soul, which implies that he is known to the unconditioned soul. And Prabhupada will write about that. Okay. Because the supreme personality of Godhead is unknown to the conditioned soul, he is sometimes described in Vedic literatures as Nirakar, Abhijnat or Avan Manasa Gochara. So first point, that because the supreme personality of Godhead is unknown to the conditioned soul, he is described as Nirakar. Kar means form and Nirakar means without form. So he is described as formless by the conditioned soul. Actually, it is a fact that the supreme personality of Godhead cannot be perceived by material senses as far as his form, quality, form, name, quality, pastimes or paraphernalia are concerned. So Prabhupada confirms that it is a fact that the supreme personality of Godhead cannot be known by material sense perception. On the other hand, then he writes, however, when one is spiritually advanced, one can understand the name, form, qualities, pastimes and paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord. So there is two schools here. One is those conditioned souls who cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the other hand are the spiritualists who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And for the other category who can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are the spiritualists, how do they understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Prabhupada is. This is contained in the Bhagavad Gita 18.55. Bhaktya maam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tat vata. So the process to know him is bhakti. One can understand in truth the supreme personality of Godhead only when one is engaged in devotional service. So that's the process. Devotional service is the process of knowing Krishna. Ordinary persons engaged in pious and impious activities cannot understand the form, name and activities of the Lord. So then Prabhupada writes that, or the point to note there is, the two schools, which is the atheist and the theist. The atheist cannot understand the supreme personality of Godhead. And even if one is a theist, even there is a distinction. In the theist, if somebody is engaged only in pious activity, still he cannot understand the supreme personality of Godhead. So piety does not relate to understanding the supreme personality of Godhead. There has to be more than just the pious. Read that again. Ordinary persons engaged in pious and impious activities cannot understand the form, name and activities of the Lord. So what is required on top of just piety? Prabhupada says, the devotee with devotion, however, can know the personality of Godhead in many respects. We can understand that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, that his address is Goloka Vrindavan, and that his activities are all spiritual. So when the piety is engaged with bhakti, then the spiritualist or the devotee can know many things about Krishna, including his name, including his address, which is Goloka Vrindavan, including his own activities, what does he do, and his mobile phone number. And his mobile phone is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So the devotee knows everything about Krishna. But how is it possible that a devotee knows everything about Krishna? Because Krishna is ever expanding. We will discuss it in a minute. Prabhupada says, because the Lord's forms and activities cannot be understood by materialistic people, he is described in the Shastra as Nirakar. That is, one whose form cannot be ascertained by material person. This does not mean that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no form. It means that it is not understood by the karmis or the fruitive actors. His form is described in the Brahma Samhita as Satchit Ananda Vigraha, as confirmed by the Padma Purana. Atha Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Graham Indre Swen Mukhehi Jivado Swen Eva Surat Kada. Now we can understand Krishna. It's a very long purport, a long purport, so let's try to break it down so we can register the key points, yeah? Let's see how can we do. Now one can understand Krishna as he is by utilizing the blunt material senses. However, the Lord reveals himself to the devotees, and there is a punch word there, you know, that the Lord reveals himself even to the devotee. You know, it's not that we can go and demand Krishna to appear. Now, when we put in our endeavor through his causeless mercy and at his sweet will, then Krishna reveals. So understanding of Krishna, therefore we understand, is not a process of demand but a process of revelation. Krishna reveals himself. Being pleased with them because of their transcendental loving service rendered unto him. Since the name, form, qualities and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna cannot be understood by material senses, he is also called Abhokshaja, meaning beyond sense perception. When the senses are purified by devotional activity, the devotee understands everything about the Lord by the Lord's grace. And that's the point, that when Krishna is satisfied with our devotion, then he reveals himself by his own grace, proper grace. In this verse, the word Kumbhirna, Kumbhir Nama Bhir Vakriya Guni are especially significant because God Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Srila Prabhupada so nicely writes in this particular line, if I pick it again. In this verse, the words Kumbhir Nama Bhir Vakriya Guni are especially significant because God, comma, Krishna, comma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada makes it very, very explicitly clear that we are talking about God, and He is Krishna, and He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All three terminologies in one line, Prabhupada continues. Has many names, activities and qualities, although none of them are material. Despite the fact that all the names, activities and pastimes are mentioned in the Shastras and understood by devotees, the karmis, fruitive laborers, cannot understand them. Nor can the Nyanis, mental speculators, understand them. Although there are thousands of names of Lord Vishnu, the Karmis and Nyanis intermingle the names of the Supreme Godhead with the names of demigods and human beings. Because they cannot understand the actual name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they take for granted that any name can be accepted. They believe that since the Absolute Truth is impersonal, they can call Him by any name. Otherwise, they maintain, He has no name. This is not a fact. Here it is clearly stated, Rama Bhirma Kriya Guni. The Lord has specific names such as Rama, Krishna, Govinda, Narayana, Vishnu and Adokshaja. They are indeed many names, but the conditioned soul cannot understand them. ॐ ज्ञानतीरन्थस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नमाम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नाम्ने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषास् पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतानन्द शिवाशरी गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम in the purport, Prabhupada talks about that the Lord is not formless, and He is definitely a Godhead form, which is Satchitananda Vigraha, which we already know, and that He can be understood by the devotees. And he writes that being familiar with the Lord and being in the pious platform only does not mean that we understand Him. Familiarity and piety does not equate to understanding of God. No? And Prabhupada writes about, you know, that the fact that people also intermingle the various names of demigods with the names of Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we can probably draw a line there that, you know, he's talking about, or he was talking about generally the case is in India, because in the Western world there are not too many demi gods. But in India, when we see an ordinary vulture in the let's say the less educated, philosophically educated households, the vulture will have every body on there. The demi gods, Krishna, Rama, Narasimha, some movie actors, Amitabh Bachchan, some cricket players like Sachin Tendulkar, everybody will be in the world, and then intermingle the names and then confuse with who is who. So, generally, in an Indian family, they will know about Krishna, Prabhupada. So, they will be at least familiar with Krishna, familiar because of their family traditions. Now, Krishna is always there on the altar amongst with everybody else. They may be familiar with Krishna because of entertainment media. At one time, they were famous TV serials, Ramayana, Mahabharata. So, they are familiar with this through TV series, the familiarity is there. Or they might actually be even pious, because every weekend or every month they have Satnarayan Katha, or some puja, some priest will come and do some puja, some yajna for good education, for good wife, for good husband, good education like that. So they have those pious activities as well. But Prabhupada writes that piety in itself is still not enough to know Supreme Personality of Godhead, neither is familiarity. The familiarity and the piety has to be permeated with bhakti to understand Krishna. With devotional service. Bhaktiya mahavi janati. So, there is a process of understanding Krishna which Prabhupada wrote about in the Bhagavad. Let's contrast the process of understanding Krishna with the mundane process of understanding something else. The material experience compared to the spiritual experiment. How do we discover something, materially? Materially speaking, now, when we have to understand an object, we put it under controlled experiments. The scientist is sitting here, rolling his head. So we put the object under controlled experiment, standing above the object, and then discover its qualities, forms, and characteristics. So, for example, if we want to know, let's say, how a particular vaccine might work on a particular animal, that's how they discover vaccines. Okay, they want to see how an animal will react to a vaccine. How will a rat or a dog will react to a vaccine? So they will put controlled experiments on the rat and then see how it behaves. And according to the particular characteristics, qualities and reactions of the vaccine, they will give a particular name. And therefore, even every material object will have a name, a form, its qualities and its characteristics. And it is discovered through controlled experiments, standing above the object. Now similarly, Krishna also has a name of many names, many qualities and many activities and many characteristics. Just as a material object has its own characteristics and qualities. But the material experiment does not weigh on the material way of experimenting, which is putting it under controlled experiments, does not work with Krishna, because we cannot control Krishna, just as we can control matter, we cannot control Krishna. And similarly, we cannot stand above Krishna. So, what do we do? Then the process is still experiment. We do controlled experiment. But the controlled experiment is not on Krishna, but the controlled experiment is on us. That's the difference. When we try to understand some object, material object, we do experiment on the object. But when we try to understand Krishna, we do experiment on ourselves rather than on Krishna. And that experiment is called bhakti. It goes from Shraddha to Prema. And as our experiment progresses from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha to Bhajan Kriya Kamata Nibhuti and so forth till Prema, then our realizations increases. And those realizations are not only on our own accord, although we are experimenting our own selves, it is also by Krishna's grace. So there is always the endeavor as well as the mercy. When Krishna is pleased with our endeavor, with our activity, with our own experiment of devotional service, then out of his own sweet will he reveals himself. And he can reveal himself fully. So the energy that I can give is that the sun is big, compared to us. So we cannot go, we cannot go, even if we are scientifically very advanced, we cannot go on the East Coast and then yell out to the sun to appear. The sun will not appear at our demand. The sun appears at its own accord whenever it's supposed to rise. No matter how scientifically advanced we can get, we cannot move the trajectory of the sun. So it will appear at its sweet, not sweet, but it will appear at its own accord. Similarly, Krishna is like that. He appears at his own accord, at his own sweet will, at his own grace, whenever the time comes. And that can be specific to individual to individual. So the point I was making is that there's a difference in the material experiment compared to the spiritual experiment. Material experiment, we stand above the object, put it under experiment and discover. Spiritual experiment is we put ourselves under Krishna and then experiment and then Krishna will reveal. So therefore, to understand Krishna, we have to stand under Krishna. To understand Krishna, we have to stand under Krishna, not above Krishna. And Krishna will reveal. In Hindi, so Prabhupada says that we have to surrender to Krishna. So in Hindi, the head is called sar. So literally it means you put your sar under Krishna. Sar under, surrender Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. So then the point gets made, or the question gets raised, is to say, given we are finite and Krishna is infinite, how is it possible for something that's so finite to understand something that's so infinite? And Krishna, as we know, is not only infinite, but he is also ever expanding. His glories and his potencies are ever expanding. So how is it possible for something that is so minute to know fully something that is not only infinite but also keeps increasing? It just doesn't reconcile. So how is that possible? And the Acharyas give us the answer there. Because Krishna is all-powerful, because Krishna is all-infinite, so therefore, as much as it is true that it is not possible for the finite to fully understand the infinite, but being infinite, being all-powerful, one of the potencies therefore should also be that the all-powerful should be able to make the infinite know whatever he wants to know. You get the point? Being infinite, Krishna should have the power to reveal to us the infinite of what he wants to do. Because if he cannot reveal to us, or if he cannot make the infinite know the finite, then therefore by definition he cannot be God. God means to be able to do everything, beyond logic as well. So that's why Krishna is able to reveal the infinite to the finite. Now, having thus far established that the process of knowing Krishna is surrender, devotional service, let us actually see what surrender means. Because surrender has different understandings or different meanings, let's say, between devotees and non-devotees. Because surrender for non-devotees generally means submission, but very resentfully. When the police tells the criminal to surrender, the criminal doesn't say, "Oh, I'm lovingly surrendering to you." It's a very resentful submission to the orders of some higher authority. And we can see this recently. When the government is saying that you cannot go to the beaches, you cannot go here, you cannot go to the bar, you cannot go here, people don't want to submit. Some less mature youngsters think that they are above the law and they have the power to kill. So they will still, grim reality is that they will still disobey the orders and do whatever they want to do. So, if when the government is unable to make them surrender through that, let's say, that recommendation to keep your social distance, not to go to the beach, then it comes with more heavy requirements to say, the beaches are closed. Yesterday I was seeing this literally happening in St. Kilda. Despite so much of publicity about Mondial Beach, when Scott Morrison didn't want people to go on the beach, I said there were still people at St. Kilda Beach. And you can see this in the media. So then the local government says, okay, no more beach, the beaches are banned, so literally you can't go to the beach. So there is now a resentful, those who have disobeyed the law will resentfully submit to the requirements of the law, otherwise they will be punished. But for us, devotee surrender means, again, submission to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, but it's a more loving submission rather than a resentful submission. We lovingly obey the instructions of Krishna. And the energy that came to mind is when a boy loves a girl, so of course we include different entities, there will always be time to time different desires, different tastes, differences in opinion. But when the love is so deep, then if the girl wants to do something else and the boy wants to do something else, the boy will say, okay, we'll do whatever you want to do today. So there is a loving submission to the desire of the beloved. The brahmacharis probably don't relate to this. The wrong example is. So it's a loving submission to the will of the other person. Now there's an interesting transition to surrender as well. Having understood what surrender means for us, it's a loving submission to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's an interesting transition as well. Transition of the submission. Krishna tells us, we know that four types of people don't come to him. And he also tells us that four types of people that come to him. Chaturvidha Bhajanteva, Jana Sukritana Arjuna, Artha Jityasiya Kati, Jnanishya Bharat Tarasama. So four types of people don't come to him. And the word, the terminology that he uses in Bhagavad Gita is Chaturvidha Bhajanteva. Now this type of people come and Bhajanteva, they come and worship him. There's a difference between worship and surrender. That's the point that I want to draw. Chaturvidha Bhajantema. Four types of people come to worship. And we know that those four types of people who come are not devotees at that particular stage. And a lot of people will possibly, at the current time, will feel the bucket of distress. Because one of the four types is those who are distressed. And there are countless people at the moment who are distressed. And even was this called Mauritian or was it Andrews? One of them was saying that it is time to pray. You read that? No? It is time to pray. He said, my knees are wet out because I'm bowing down to pray. Now, ordinarily, whether these people were praying before or not, but at the time of remedy, everybody is resorting to only gold and silver because the enemy at the moment is invisible. And if I just digress for a second, now, people say that God, because we can't see God, therefore He's nirakar. Well, if we take that line of logic, then we can't see the virus. That doesn't mean it doesn't have form. We know that coronavirus is a form. And notwithstanding that it's lethal, it's actually, its form is quite amazing because it's like a globe, it's like a circle with complex type of things, protruding from each of the sides quite systematically. So when they show me on the TV screen, it looks like it's in its quality, it's lethal, but it's in appearance, it's almost like a screensaver. It just moves away from one part of the screen to the other. So that the minute virus is of a form. So how can the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot have a form? So the point that I was making is about of the four types of people that come to Krishna. One of them is distress, and many people get that category. So they are Bhajatema, Krishna says. They come to worship Him. But then Krishna says later on in the same chapter that Bahunam Jatanamante Jnanamamam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatmasu Durlava. So Bahunam Jatanam, after many births and deaths, a person who has got knowledge comes and surrenders to Him. So from Bhajate, the transition is to Prapadyante. Bahunam Jatanamante Jnanamamam Prapadyate. Those in knowledge surrender unto Him. So there's a sweet transition from just worshipping to surrender. Now, so first of all, having understood that surrender means different things to the atheists and to the yogis. Surrender is for us a willful submission rather than a lovingly willful submission rather than a resentful submission. Having understood that there's a transition from worship to surrender, let's just see that within surrender, in the devotee context, the different different ways of surrender. Different ways of surrender. So, and again, this is more relevant to the current atmosphere when there is so much of anxiety out there about the coronavirus. Surrender, of course, always is there is dependence on Krishna. But two pastimes that I want to draw to is one of Draupadi and the other one to Arjuna to bring out the point of different ways of surrender, which we are familiar with, but just Let's just refresh. When things are within our control, no, again, during the present times, when things are within our control, what do we do? And when things are not in our control, what do we do? And generally, you know, we face this. So, Draupadi exemplifies the attitude of surrender when things are not within our control. When she was being disrobed, no, she tried to protect herself, and she tried, you know, to solicit assistance from the generals present in the parliament house, unsuccessful. So finally, when things were totally outside her control, then she remembers Krishna and surrenders to Krishna, you know, with hands up. Now we know that. So this is a good example of, you know, surrendering to Krishna with dependence when things are not in our control. Now we contrast that with Arjuna. When Arjuna is bewildered, and then Krishna gives him the Bhagavad Gita. So at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna says that Arjuna's surrender to Krishna is with his control. He says his surrender is, in Draupadi's case, it was hands up. In Arjuna's case, surrender is now my bow and arrow are out. The Gandiva then has slipped from his shoulders. He is now picking it up to say, Krishna, I surrender to you. And surrender to Krishna by Arjuna is exhibited by fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. I am fighting for you. So let's surrender. And when he fights for Krishna, of course there is dependence always. But his focus is dependence on Krishna is in the back of his mind. At the forefront, it is more diligence. I'll contrast again. For Draupadi, the surrender to Krishna at the back of her mind and at the forefront is dependence on me. My Lord, things are not in my control. I am dependent on you only. Please save me. I surrender. In Arjuna's case, at the back of his mind is dependence, but at the forefront is more diligence. To say, now I am going to fight, and I am going to use my intelligence to fight, I am going to use my strength to fight, and I will fight diligently. So what is there for us to take away? For us to take away, when we are also fighting this, you know, the unknown, unseen enemy, and not just us, the entire world is fighting with it at the moment, we have to continue to depend on Krishna. And when we are carrying out our daily activities, we have to be diligent. Whatever precautions we have to take, we should take. It will be very, very foolish of a devotee to stand outside to say, I am devotee of Krishna, and therefore coronavirus cannot affect me. I will go and touch anything, I will not sanitize my hands, I will not wash my hands. All these things, I am above the modes of material nature. So Krishna will protect me. Now that will be quite foolish actually. That's not surrender means. Devotion and surrender means being diligent to the requirements, using our intelligence and getting our activity, like Arjuna. But for things that are outside our control, you know, because it's almost like impossible to operate at the moment. You know, that fear is there to touch this or not to touch this, who has been in this show, who has been in this tram, you know, so all that anxiety is there. Now there is almost beyond our control. So what is beyond our control, we depend on Krishna to protect us. And what is with our control, we protect ourselves with diligence. And when things are outside our control, it does not mean that they are beyond our control. Because what is outside our control is within the control of Krishna. Because not even a blade of grass can move without the sanction of the Lord. So similarly, you know, not even a single virus can move without the sanction of the Lord. So at the end of the day, there is, you know, the sanction of the Lord for whatever happens. And we have to see the positive in everything. So, now, even having taken the precaution, even after having possibly intensified our bhakti, reversals may come in our life. Because there is the catastrophe at the moment. Reversals can come in our life, and reversals can also come in the lives of our near and dear ones, and reversals are also coming in the lives of everybody else that we possibly don't know, but it's happening out there. People are dying in numbers. Now, so at this particular time, it is important to be sensible to ourselves as well as to the sufferings of the others. Let's talk about ourselves first, and then let's talk about others. We understand from our philosophy that the causes of our sufferings at the end of the day is our own self. There is an immediate cause of our suffering, there is a remote cause of our suffering, and then there is an ultimate cause of our suffering. The immediate cause, for example, if I'm walking on the footpath in a slip, and I hurt myself. Now, I cannot blame the footpath for my suffering. It's not that, because it was footpath's fault, so I fell apart. No, because if there's a banana peel on the footpath, it's not the banana peel's fault that I slipped. But the immediate cause of my suffering is the banana peel, or the water on the cement, and I slipped it and fell. That's the immediate cause. Now, that's what we see on the center. But the remote cause, as we understand, is our own karma. All our suffering is due to a reaction of something that we have done in the past. So that's the remote cause. And the ultimate cause is always again. Nothing moves without the sanction of the Lord. So Krishna sanctions everything that is to happen. So we take it like that. That is our karmic reaction, and therefore I'm going through this the suffering at the moment, or the anxiety at the moment, the grief at the moment. That's how we take ourselves. And then we surrender more and more to Krishna. To say, I'm depending on you, we deal with this. Now, when it comes to seeing the sufferings of the others, I have seen, in our neophyte initial days, we tend to make this judgmental mistake by pointing fingers to say, no, look, no, he is suffering, or she is suffering, and that is because of their karmic reaction. Now this is a very, very insensitive statement to make, especially us being devotees. Prabhupada didn't say that the hippies are struggling in America because it's their karmic creation. Now, it is true that people are suffering because of karmic creation. But it's a statement that devotees don't make. It's not necessary. It's a very, very, very insensitive statement to make. What is more important, as we know, this is the prime time to preach. Because people are, again, artho jikyasu arthati, people are distressed and they want some solution. So this is an opportune time to preach. Temple might be closed, book distributions might be stopped, prasadam distribution might be stopped, but preaching can continue. Online preaching can continue. To our friends, to our dear ones, to our relatives, to our colleagues, this is opportune time to preach. People will listen. People, and I put it on experience. When I talk to people, they are ready to listen. So, but if I tell them that you are going through, you have lost your job, and you don't have food to eat, it's because of your karma, then I'm going to be the last person they want. They're going to disconnect me from Facebook as well. Not that I'm on Facebook gaming, I'm not a Facebook type of person. So people will disconnect with me. We first have to understand them before they are ready to understand us. But if we tell them, and all the practical preaching might be stopped because the book distribution, prasadam, and so on and so forth, and will be closed. So, if we cannot help people practically, this is the best time to help them emotionally. People have got so much time to listen to you on the phone because they don't have anything else to do. If we call our friends, if we call our colleagues, they will give you hours because we are supposed to be working from home, but there's not much work out there. Because if there is no consumerism, then there is not much production either, apart from toilet papers. Nothing else is in demand. So, it's good time to pick up the call and give people emotional support. If we just give them even mundane emotional support, we are the people that will tend to when things go even more pear-shaped later on down the track. So very, very opportune time to preach. So we preach by saying that not from a karmic reaction point of view, but more in terms of not what is causing the distress, but where is the solution. And we know, if we chant, if we read, if we surrender to Krishna, if we perform some devotional service, then that is in our eternal bank account. All other bank accounts are falling now. People are scared of their superannuation. People are scared of their bank balance. People are scared of their houses, of their mortgages. All these things might go, but devotional service will stay. And the credits of the devotional service stays with us eternally. And this is a good time even for us devotees to realize that everything that we own is actually just a loan. The house that we own, the big palace, the two cars, the mobile phone, the clothes, the Kathmandu jacket, the gadgets, everything that we own is just a loan from Krishna. Whenever Krishna wants, he can just take it back. And who are we? Even for Arjuna, when Krishna had wound up his pastimes, after at the end of Dwapara Yuga, when Arjuna was returning from Dwarka went to Hastinapur. He could not even win the battle against ordinary warriors. Now this Krishna, this Arjuna, who was so mighty, who could defeat anybody, was unable to win a simple battle against some ordinary cowherd people. And then his realization was that the power that I had to execute my duty was not because of my own power, but it was just a borrowed, like he said, borrowed plumes. It is just, you know, something that had been gifted by Krishna. And once the leader is wound up, Krishna doesn't need me to be that powerful, so he has just taken this kind of way. So what we speak of our house, in our car, in our job, when Krishna wants, he can take away anything, which is not necessary for our devotion. He can take away our intelligence, he can take away our strength, he can take away whatever he wants, and also, conversely, he can give us whatever we need as devotees to perform our devotional service. So, at the end of the day, whatever Krishna does is benevolent for us. It might actually be stressful in the immediate course from our short vision, but in the long term, it is always benevolent for the devotee. So that's why the faith is to be there in Krishna. At the end of the day, whatever we cannot give up, we have to endeavor. Krishna tells us that Matra is for Shastu, Kamteya, Sitoshanasa, Sukadukhada, Agama Payana Nitya, Sounds, Dikshaswa, Bharata. Whatever we cannot give up at the moment, we have to endeavor. That's just the reality of the situation. Whatever we can change, we can change. Whatever we cannot change, we have to accept it. But at the end of the day, we have to make the best use of the situation. So rather than being corona conscious, we have to be Krishna conscious. Corona conscious will not save us. And again, I'm again talking through my own realizations. It is just so easy being working from home to be so digressed and start getting, you know, when you open one page of your web browser, the age or something, and there's so many articles, then it's just so easy to start, you know, getting bogged down into reading one after the other, and what is happening. But what we need to do is actually open the pages of Bhagavatam, you know, open the pages of the scriptures rather than the pages of the age. Undoubtedly, it is important to keep up to date with the news, don't get me wrong. But as devotees, we don't have to be so bogged down into the details of the news. Let me rephrase. The amount of time that we spend on the scriptures, reading the scriptures, hearing the lectures, should at no point in time be any less than the amount of time that we spend on reading the news out there. Because let's face it, we actually, if you generally analyze, we already know the news for tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow, and the next week. We know the news. There will be more people in the hospital, unfortunately. There will be more things closing down. Because if one shop closes, and then the third one closes, and the fourth one closes, but when the fifth one closes, it's closer, like we know the news. And another 10,000 people will be laid off. It's a very, very tricky thing, but that's just the news. Somebody said, news is nothing. News is the same old thing, told in a new way. So this shop has closed, another shop will close. So we know the news. So the message that I was trying to make the point is that we should engross ourselves in Krishna consciousness, reading the literature, especially at this point in time. Krishna tells us, you know, that we perform our devotional service at different levels. Wherever we are, we can always still pray to the Lord, you know, to intensify our bhakti. We know that the best is always to perform devotional service. And therefore, Prabhupada very intelligently gave us the terminology of devotional service, because it has got devotion and it has got service. And Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that the best is one who performs devotional service. In other words, the one who performs service with devotion. But if he cannot perform devotional service, then at least we try to perform devotional service. That's the second stage. Or if we cannot even try to perform devotional service, then at least perform service. And what does perform service mean? As contrast to devotional service, is that when we are doing something, but the mind is not on Krishna, that is still we are doing service. We might be singing nice kirtan, but our mind is somewhere else. We might be making garlands, but our mind is completely somewhere else. There is still service in one sense. There is still service. But let's say, you know, the devotion perhaps is missing at that moment. Because devotional service will mean thinking of Krishna and then doing that duty. So in whatever stage we are, the point is that our thinking, feeling and willing has to, you know, become more intensified in Krishna consciousness. So, I'll end was Bhagavad Gita is perhaps, you know, important for us, because Krishna talks about body and talks about the soul. And that distinction we know. And we know that no matter what, the body is always prone to death. The body will die, Krishna says, and the soul is everlasting. So whatever happens to the body, whether it's by virus or by something else, you know, we know that the body is prone to virus, but the soul is virus-proof. The soul is always virus-proof. So if for whatever reasons, even if the body falls, if we are sincere in Krishna consciousness, then the soul will rise. And if you think of it, we know that at the end of the day, our goal is our soul to rise to Krishna Loka. That's what we are aiming for, to go back to Godhead. So whatever happens to the body, even if it falls, our beauty, our warranty from Krishna is that if we are sincere in Krishna consciousness, then our soul will rise. And that's the journey that we need to get. So it's like that we are stopping. It's very quiet in the room because it's not just lecture, you know, after the temple closing, so it's an environment that I have to adjust initially. Yesterday I was also having my first Bhakti Riksha online, and it was a very, very awkward experience of talking to the mobile phone. So you're literally talking to your phone, because when you see people, at least there is a few people, so you can see the vibe, you can adjust, but it was a challenge. But I think it's something that, you know, as preachers, we are all getting used to, the challenges of online classes. Anyways, thank you for your attention. If there's any questions or comments, maybe we've got some more time.
Sometimes in devotee's life we have some changes or some reverses come, like not the situation but generally. And then we try to understand how Krishna's mercy is working, and like I just feel sometimes we just try to speculate, and you know how this verse is saying we shouldn't try to understand. So I'm just wondering if it comes under that category of trying to understand Krishna's mercy through our blunt senses.
So that's not unnatural. When we are going to rehearsals, it is natural for any human being to explore what could be the cause of the problem and to explore what could be the solution. So as devotees, we don't need to be unrealistic, you know, and unnatural. You know, if we are thinking that what would have led us to this, and if we are thinking that perhaps that this is, you know, mercy of Krishna, or perhaps this is my karmic creation, or perhaps I could do this, that's not wrong. But the point is that we have to just accept whatever we cannot change. But whatever we can change, given our, you know, situation and our strength and our resources, then we can. And those things that we can change implies that they are within our control. So we change it to make it better for us. Because we know we have the body, but that does not mean we have to reject the body. We have to take care of the body, because the body is also unknown to us from Krishna. We think we own the body, but it's just a long condition. So we have to take care of the body. So if we can't change, we must accept it. But at any point in time, we have to make, through our intelligence, the best use of the situation for our Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, yes.
You were asking?
I was just thinking, because you mentioned in the lecture that being as a devotee, we should also follow the instructions of the current situation. You know, what the government is saying, ask us to do, and first of all, our things like our temple is saying, ask to do some authorities, follow some instructions, you know. Is it not that important that when the time comes to follow the instructions, so that has to be implemented immediately, you know, instead of, as you said, the because both are doing to make the things favorable and easy, so that the things get better and people can have a full access to do their things properly.
Yeah, so.
Thank you.
So the question was, you know, that, you know, at the current times when we are getting instructions, you know, from the government and from the local authorities and whatever, then how do we, you know, isn't it necessary to abide by those instructions? And of course, the answer is yes. We have to abide by the instructions of this day, because we are legal citizens, and definitely abide by the instructions of the temple. The other thing, if we just use our common sense, the right answers will come up. Because it behooves any mature person to understand why it is so hard for people to keep social distance. Because at the rate, you know, that the virus is exponentially escalating, it is common sense to do our level best. And Prabhupada demonstrated this to us in many fronts. Whenever things happened, he took it as Krishna's message. But at the same time, he used his own intelligence to make the best of use of the situation. So, and we know this, take 2 minutes to explain the Juhu temple, the Hare Krishna land pastime, which we know, a famous example. When things are getting so hard and hard and hard to secure the land, and then to secure the temple, and to build, you know, just the devotees went through such a hardship. And at one point in time, when the temple was, the temporary temple that had been built, when that was being demolished, in front of the devotees, and somehow the other, the devotees arranged for the council to supersede the original decision. So when the front part of the temple was demolished, but only the deity room was left, and Krishna sheltered himself, that part was remaining. So when the news was finally relayed to Sri Prabhupada, he said, "Yeah, this is all Krishna's arrangement." So especially at temple closing, for us it will be, for us it seems like a hard decision. But Prabhupada said, "Oh yeah, this is good, but this is Krishna's arrangement." Because, and we know that when in India, if you touch a temple, if you try to demolish a temple, you're in trouble. So he said, "Now that this has happened, we will go into the media, we will gain popularity, and therefore it will expedite the construction of the temple." So the point is, he is dependent on Krishna to say, Krishna, I promised you that you stay here in this temporary shed, and one day I will build a beautiful temple for you. That's my promise to you." And he knows that Krishna will never let the devotees fail. So whatever he does is, if Krishna has arranged for the land to be not secure, but now, it possibly means that there is a plan that Krishna has for. But always the dependence on Krishna. So following the instructions of the local Bombay municipality at that moment, he still says that this is the plan of the Krishna. And a good example of how the dependence on the Krishna is there, but carry out the construction of the temple diligently. Use your best endeavor to construct the temple of Krishna. And we know that when the sincere endeavor is there, like Mother Yashoda, then Krishna will show the mercy at the end of it. So we just have to be dependent on Krishna's desire. That's all. So following the instructions is of course important. Hopefully I understood your question properly, and hopefully I've answered it to your situation. Anything else? No? Can I just mention Bhagavatam ki?
Yeah.
Bhagavatam ki? Yeah.